Defense Secretary Ash Carter will unveil a new Pentagon cyber strategy today. It's expected to revise his department's approach to cyberspace to account for a number of technological and policy changes over the last several years. Officials say Carter will announce several new initiatives intended to make DoD more capable of adopting cutting-edge commercial technologies for the protection of its networks and build tighter linkages between the department and Silicon Valley. DoD reporter Jared Serbu joins me now with more. Jared, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Unusual hour for you. And so, well, there seem to be a lot of things coming out from Ash Carter. Let's talk about that cyber strategy first. Is it going to say we can shoot back or we can attack in a cyber sense?
I think you'll probably see some of that. At this point, we really only know the broad outlines of what's going to make up the new strategy. But just for the sake of expectation setting, I think what you're going to hear from the secretary today during his speech at Stanford is going to be very, very high level, along the lines of a strategic plan versus the nitty-gritty of how DoD's cyber teams are going to operate, you know, on a day-to-day basis. In general, as to why it's coming out now, I think the department felt it was time. It seems like just yesterday when Bill Lynn, then the Deputy Defense Secretary, rolled out the Pentagon's first ever cyber strategy. But that was back in 2011, and a lot has happened since then. Some of the things officials point to in terms of that change is, as you said in the intro, the threat has changed, not just the technology, but maybe more significant is that, you know, the advanced tools people can use to attack government systems are much more widely available and cheap compared to 4 years ago. So I think what you're going to hear a bit of today is an attempt by the department to make clear that they have a well thought out strategy to deal with those changes that have happened in terms of technology. There's also been some clarification on policy as to what DoD does and doesn't do in cyberspace. Back in 2012, the president made clear that the military explicitly does have a role in defending the country from cyber attacks, just like it would from old-fashioned attacks. So I think you'll see that reflected in the strategy today, but also with sort of some limiting terms around it, especially in the wake of all the disclosures about the NSA. I think DoD is very eager to articulate what it doesn't do in cyber. So they're gonna make clear that for the vast majority of attacks, and we've heard this before, but DHS and FBI are usually going to be in the lead. It's only when a cyber attack rises to the level that you could compare it with the effects of what the military calls an armed attack. That's the only case in which the Pentagon would kind of be in the driver's seat in either an offensive or defensive capacity. And then finally, one other thing that's changed is the cyber workforce has come a long way. So the cyber mission force exists now. It's being built under the auspices of U.S. Cyber Command. We've talked a lot about that, on its way to an eventual size of 6,200 people. So I think a lot of the strategy is also going to revolve around that cyber mission force, exactly how those people are trained, how they're equipped, what sorts of technologies they're given to do their day-to-day work.
Yeah, so if you're going to have some kind of a more powerful cyber strategy, I guess the feeling is they've got to have the people to back it up. Otherwise, it's just a paper tiger.
Yeah, you've got to have numbers of people, but you've also got to have, the quality of people that you need. So one of the things that actually has changed even after the department decided to stand up the cyber mission force is they've, for example, decided to allocate more of that force structure to the Guard and the Reserve. And the explicit reason for that is you can grab people who do, you know, their day civilian jobs in Silicon Valley or in other parts of the tech sector who work in cyber at a very high level on a day-to-day basis, who can then come in and perform their Guard or Reserve service within U.S. Cyber Command and bring all that expertise with them.
All right. So I guess it's fair to say then that they're not completely throwing open everything they know about cyberspace warfare, but maybe the kimono is open just a fraction so that in advancing from what they were doing or what they were saying in 2011.
Yeah, I think, again, you will see some of that. But again, it's going to be very high level. And I don't think they're going to get into a lot of detail about exactly how they're going to operate. That's the sort of thing that you would expect to come out in an updated doctrine, which DoD also does have. They first published that in classified form maybe about 2 years ago and later an unclassified version. That is probably due for an update too, given the fact that they've updated the high-level strategy.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's DoD reporter Jared Serbu, and you're also saying that Carter wants to be able to have the Pentagon be more, I guess, adept at adopting some of the new technologies being developed in Silicon Valley, which I guess silicon is not really the right word anymore because there's as much software going on there as semiconductor development. But there's really this enamored view that the administration has of that part of the coast.
Yeah, and with DOD in particular, I think a lot of the things that you're going to hear today, there's really four announcements that go along with a cyber strategy, but they're all kind of a piece with the idea that the Defense Department, even though it used to be sort of in the driver's seat when it comes to information technology, that then went into the commercial sector in you know, sort of world-changing ways, that dynamic is basically reversed now. The commercial tech sector is really doing most of the innovation, which the department then adopts. But at the moment, adopts too slowly. So there's going to be several things that come out of Secretary Carter's speech from what we understand. First of all, the department's going to create its first ever permanent presence in Silicon Valley with a new office called DIUX, which stands for, if I can find it here, the Defense Innovation Unit Experimental. Still in the early stages of planning for that, but the department imagines that it's going to be housed probably at the former naval base at Moffett Field, which now hosts NASA's Ames Research Center, just a few miles down the road from Google. DIUX is going to be staffed up with what the department says will be an elite cadre of DOD civilian and active duty personnel, probably with a civilian director and a military deputy and a relatively small staff at first, but it's going to get a lot of help from, as I said before about the Cyber Mission Force, a rotation of members of the National Guard and Reserve who work in the technology field. The department says many of the people that it's already selected for those Guard and Reserve members work in tech, and a lot of them have already started and sold successful tech companies. So their main job is going to sit there in Silicon Valley and not just in the Valley, but look really across the country for game-changing technologies, as the Pentagon calls them, especially from smaller companies and, importantly, companies that are not used to doing business with the Department of Defense, either because the barriers to entry have been too high or it just hasn't been worth their time. So that's one way the department's going to tackle this in announcements that they're going to make today. Another is, for the first time, they're going to make really direct investments in a select number of companies. This is still experimental, but they're going to borrow an idea from the intelligence community, which has this not-for-profit corporation called InQtel, which is a vehicle where they can really just use federal funding to directly invest in companies that appear to have things that are really going to change the game for the intelligence community. So the DOD is going to build its own model for that at first by investing in InQtel directly, and depending on how things go, perhaps building its own version of InQtel.
And Jared, is this all pursuant to the greater strategy in DOD of technological superiority, which the leadership believes has eroded pretty badly in the last few years?
It's hard not to draw that connection. That did not come up in any of our discussions with defense officials yesterday. But I mean, given the timing, I think you would have to say that it's pretty directly connected to, as officials are calling it, the third offset strategy to, as you kind of indicated there, make sure that DOD does not fall behind in terms of the technology gap that it currently enjoys over most other potential adversaries in the world, but that it feels is narrowing over time.
And it also makes you wonder, this strategy of Silicon Valley, what kind of cultural clash they might run into. Steve Jobs, the former and late chairman of Apple, was once reported to have said he doesn't want to sell to the federal government because he doesn't want to sell his computers to baby killers. I wonder how much of that attitude could be pervasive in that area of California.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's uniformly that hostile, but I will say I think the department knows it has some work to do there. And one of the things that the secretary is going to do today on that front is he's going to go up to Facebook headquarters and just talk with some of their senior leadership about human capital type issues, how you attract and retain people, how they might be able to get people in that culture interested in the defense mission and working for national security. So I think clearly the department knows it's got work to do. And another thing they're going to do along those lines is they already have this thing called the Secretary of Defense Corporate Fellows Program, where they take military officers and basically put them on a one-year assignment with a major tech company that go work for the Googles and the Facebooks of the world for a year, then come back and apply that knowledge within the department. That currently, they only use that for about 10 or 15 officers per year right now. They say they're going to dramatically expand that, both in terms of numbers and in terms of time. So they'll send an officer to a company for a year. Then they will make very deliberate decisions about where they're going to place them within DOD after that one-year assignment is over, so that knowledge can be directly applied to, you know, a mission set in the department that's relevant to what they've just learned.
So I guess the real test will be if there are foosball tables in the new Pentagon West that they're setting up.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I'm skeptical.
All right, Federal News Radio's DOD reporter Jared Serbu. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.